Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. This is truly a day that God has made, and all of us should be rejoicing and being glad in it. This is a day that God has allowed us to come together one more time to explore the Word of God together, one with another. It is always a privilege and an honor for me to come before you, that God allow me to go before his people, that he trusts me enough to each week come back with a word for his people. I pray that each and every one of you receive something on the night, that the word of God will not return void, that the Holy Ghost will give you illumination and revelation of what God inspired man to do when he wrote the Bible. You see, all the Bible is inspiration of God. The Bible was inspired by God, but written by man. And everything in the Bible has a purpose and a design for you. You see, God, you don't have to read the Word of God to please God and show him that you read the Word. The Word of God is for you. It's your daily instructions for your daily living. It will give you things that could carry you straight into success. If you never read the Word of God again in your life, God's going to still be God. So let us buckle up and get ready to hear what the Word of God has to say to us tonight. And like I say, I thank God and I thank Jesus Christ and I thank the Holy Spirit. I decree right now that the Holy Spirit can have his way in this place on tonight. I pray that each and every one of you are prayerful as the lesson's going forth so that everyone can receive what is necessary for their lives to be changed. And as we get ready, before we do anything, we always go to the throne of grace and give God the glory for what he's allowing us to do. And at this time, if there's anyone who would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and we'll pray. After we pray, if someone would like to sing, you could press the one button on your phone, and then after that, we'll get into the lesson. Our lesson tonight is, the title of the lesson is, We Are Living in a Time of No Excuses. We are living in a time of no excuses. And the scripture is going to come from the book of Romans that I had already sent to you guys the other day for those who got it. And if you haven't received the information, the text about what the scripture is going to be, I may not have your phone number, but when the program ends, if you would press the one button on your phone and give me your information a day or two or whatever before the Wednesday night Bible study, I give the scriptures so that you could go and explore for yourself. And when we meet up on Wednesday, all of us can have some information. So we're coming from Romans 1:16 through 20. And this is another thing. If I give the book of Romans, the first chapter, you know, it would be really good for you to read the whole chapter and not just the verses, because I expound on a verse and I try to bring into picture what the chapter is talking about or where the writer is coming from, that you could get clear understanding. But don't just read the verses if you have time. Read the chapter, because it's going to give you some more information that will bring clarity to what the verses, the published verses, is saying. So at this time, I'm happy that, well, no one pressed the button phone, but Madison is in the house with me again on tonight, and glory be to God. And I'm going to let him pray, because he told me to pick him up from school on Wednesdays. He said, I'm going to be at your house Wednesday, because you know I have to pray. And he is here with me on tonight, and that's really a blessing. So I'm going to turn the phone over to Madison. If someone would like to sing, You could press the one button on your phone, and if not, I'll play a song and we'll get into the lesson. Again, the title of the lesson is We Are Living in a Time of No Excuses, coming from Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 20th verse. And here's Madison.
Good evening, everybody. Let's open up with prayer. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to call in and get educated from my grandma about you and learn things that you might have not known before, or if you know, get back up on it and able to research more about it so you can have a better understanding. And thank you for taking time out of your time, because without this, my grandma wouldn't be able to do all this, God. Thank you, God. Even though you're with people all around the world, being omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, you know all that, God. And please use all those three attributes of yourself to help my grandma. Please know when the things are going to happen and give it to her heads up so she can know what to change or to continue with it, God. Please be with her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, now. That one shocked me. I am so grateful, and I thank you so much, Madison. The word tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from you. And if God said it in his word, you got to believe it. But the part of that scripture say train up, and that's our responsibility. You know, when I raised my children, I wasn't as good as I am now with Madison with the things of God. But you know, when you know better, you should do better. So, since we, I'm going to just go ahead and play this record. Let me see if anybody pressed the button. Okay, I got a button press, and I'm going to open the mic. Hello, your number is 42144. Your mic is open. Hello? 504-421-44. Your mic is open. Hello? Okay. If you want to talk a little later, just press it again. Thank you. I think that was Miss Cynthia. The song that I'm playing is that God is able. And we're going to listen to this, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Thank you.
God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way, who make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. Oh, and he won't fail. Tell me who will make a river out of a little stream, who tell the clouds to roll back so that the sun can look at me, and who tell you God is able and he won't. No, God won't. He won't fail. God won't. He'll never leave, never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
And that's God is able. Once we realize that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, it should put us in an easy place of trust. You know, the lesson tonight is really talking about God and how able he is. And that's how I chose that record and what he would do and has done for his people. So I always give y'all a background, and I wanted to show you God. I want to show you God, because the more we know of him, the more we can love on him, and the more we trust him, and the more we have faith. You know, some people have little faith, some have big faith, and some people have dynamite faith. You know, but God gave all of us a measure of faith. And the quality and the quantity of faith that you have, it depends on you. You see, your mama can't have faith, you know, for you. You got to have faith for yourself, you know. It's an individual thing. And what you put in is what you're going to get out. So keep that in mind. And our little background or the little summary I want to give you, it's dealing with the Old Testament and the New Testament. And a lot of people believe that the Old Testament is not necessary for us today. And some people who don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior don't believe that the New Testament has power, because the power is because of the blood of Jesus. And if they don't recognize Jesus as the Savior, then they would feel that that writing has no power. But I came to tell you today that both of them was necessary, and they both play a vital part with us as Christians. And let me just do it like this. You know, my station is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. So I like to do it in a simple thing. Let's just do reasoning for a little while. If the Old Testament was not necessary, why do you think God would inspire man to write it? And if God wrote the Old Testament, and then which was an old covenant and his will at that time, and then he wrote a New Testament, which is a new covenant and his will at that time, you think he wasn't going to connect it together? You think it wasn't going to be in reference to each other? You know, God is an awesome God, and God does everything for a reason, and everything have a purpose, you know, and everything have a season. You know, the Old Testament was not necessary, but it was perfect in its season, and it accomplished what God sent it out to accomplish. And now the New Testament is perfect in this season, and it also will accomplish what God sent it out to do. You see, the Bible is a unified book, and there are differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, in many ways, they are very, very complementary to each other. You see, the Old Testament is the fundamentals of God. Get that? You see, that's where God dwelt with his people, and they heard God's voice, they literally heard his voice, and he gave messages to the prophet, and he directed his people what he wanted to do, and when he was angry, he put the wrath on them. God was dwelling with his people. And then you saw the fundamentals of God. You see, the New Testament builds on that foundation with further revelation from God. It's all designed to reveal God to you. So if you're in the Old Testament or you're in the New Testament, you look for God. And you see his attributes and you see what he's saying and you see how he do things. And begin to have an intimate relationship with him. You see, the Old Testament established principles that are seen illustrative in the New Testament. Truths providing that God is real. You see, the Old Testament contains many prophecies that are fulfilled in the New Testament. How can you go to a book wrote over 600,000 years ago, come on now, y'all, and it say it's something, and then it came to pass. And he say it's something, and it came to pass. And he say it's something, and it came to pass. That need to let you know if God said it, you could believe it. You see, the Old Testament provides the history of the people. Come on now. But the New Testament focuses on a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. But everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. If you take time and really do precept upon precept and study it with a fine-tooth comb and come on, y'all, and just sit down and read it and let God talk to you, because you know the Bible is God talking to you. And you see, when you pray, is you talking to God, and when you read the Bible, is God talking to you. Because every answer to every question you ever had asked, will ask, or need to ask, the answer is in the Bible. Some people say, my prayers has not been answered. Read the Bible, it's there. God is not short of his word. He didn't leave anything out. You see, the Old Testament shows the wrath of God against sin. You know, he destroyed the world in Noah's time. He burned Sodom and Gomorrah. He was about to burn Nineveh. You know, God don't play when there's sin involved. But you see, the Old Testament provides the history of his people. You see, the Old Testament showed the wrath of God against sin with a glimpse of his grace. Now, why you say a glimpse of his grace? You see, God still was a gracious God. And sometimes we get it mixed up that there could be no grace until after Jesus died. But if you read the Old Testament, you're going to see the grace of God throughout it. When someone was faithful to God, he counted it as righteousness. And that righteousness afforded them grace. Come on now. The Old Testament showed the wrath of God with a glimpse of his grace. The New Testament shows the grace of God towards sinner with a glimpse of his wrath. Now, why is a glimpse of his wrath now? Because, you see, Jesus came and took away, you know, a penalty. He took away your punishment. Come on, come on, come on. Right? So the New Testament shows the grace of God towards sinners with a glimpse of his wrath. And there must be wrath. There gotta be wrath. You know, why does God have wrath on his people? Because whenever sin is present, there has to be wrath, or it would mean that God is okay with it. And God said sin angers him. And he'll never be pleased with sin. You see, the Old Testament predict the Messiah. And the New Testament reveal who the Messiah is. Don't y'all see the connection? The Old Testament predict, and it was prophesied that Jesus would come. The first prophecy in the Old Testament, in the second chapter of Genesis. Let me get this and make sure second, and it's not the third. In the second chapter of Genesis, man fell. No, it was in the third. I wanted to make sure. The third chapter of Genesis was when man fell. And by Genesis 3 and 15, God had did a prophecy and a promise that he would send a Messiah. Go back and read it, Genesis 3:15. See, that's the grace of God, even in the Old Testament. Speaking of Jesus coming, and what he and dealing with his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. That was grace in the third chapter of Genesis, and Jesus hadn't been born. The Old Testament records the giving of God's law, and the New Testament shows how Jesus, the Messiah, filled the law with grace for everyone who will accept by faith. You know, Jay kept talking about, is the law good, and the law of Moses, is do we really need it? And Moses said, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. The Old Testament gave the law. The New Testament clarified that the law was meant to show men their need for a Savior and was never intended to be a means of salvation. You know, I studied one time because I asked myself the question, if you have to accept Jesus to be saved, and they say you got to come to, in order to get to the Father, you got to come through the Son, and Jesus brought salvation through grace through salvation, it made me wonder, how was the people in the Old Testament saved? But if you look, you will see, as I'm saying tonight, that there will always grace. Just like we have to believe, they had to believe too. They had to believe that God had a master plan that could save them. They might have didn't really fully understand Jesus. You see, and we so blessed, and yet the world is so crooked now. We so blessed because we have the word of God that showed us the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, walking the earth. Come on, not a transfiguration. All of that. That's why Jesus said we will be even blessed more, because we didn't get to see all of that like some of them did, and yet we believe. Hallelujah. And with those people back then, they had to believe. You see, in the Old Testament, God's dealing was mainly with his chosen people, the Jews. But you see, in the New Testament, God's dealings are with everyone, and he said, whosoever will, let him come and receive his gift. You see, physical blessing promised under the Old Testament. But you see, the New Covenant give us spiritual blessings. The Old Testament prophecy is related to the coming of Christ through incredible details, contain a certain amount of things that may not be clear, that was unclear. But you see, God turned right around and made the unclear clear in the New Testament. Because God's revelation in Scripture is progressive. You know, we don't know everything about God. We know more about God. Don't you know more about God today than you knew last year? That is how God is revealing himself to you. That's how God is revealing himself unto the world. Because you see, it's progressive. God's revelation of us knowing who he is. We'll never know fully, but we learn a little more by and by. Come on, y'all. If we stay in tune and in touch. But you see, his revelation, even in the scriptures, you know, everything in the scripture is not made known to our feeble mind yet because it's progressive. But thank God for what he has revealed to us thus far, realizing that there is so much more to come. The New Testament brings into sharper principles that are introduced in the Old Testament. The Old Testament saw paradise lost by Adam. The New Testament shows how paradise is going to be regained through the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. That's why they call Jesus the second Adam. The Old Testament declared that man was separated from God through sin. And the New Testament declared that man can be restored in his relationship to God, which has always been God's designed purpose. And the New Testament tells us how we could get restored. The Old Testament predicts the Messiah's life. The Gospels in the New Testament records Jesus' life, and the epistles, that's the books, the letters that's written, mostly by Paul, interprets his life and how we ought to respond to all that he has done. Daily instructions for daily living. It teaches us how to live by faith and let us know that we are living in a time of no excuses. You see, in summary, the Old Testament lays the foundation for the coming of the Messiah, who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. The New Testament records the ministry of Jesus and then look back on what he did and how we ought to respond to it. Jesus is our number one example. Both testaments reveal the same holy, merciful, righteous God who condemned sin but desired to save sinners through an atoning sacrifice. In both testaments, God revealed himself to us to show us how we are to come to him through faith. This review of the testament allows us to realize that God is always revealing himself to us. And no one will ever be afforded the opportunity of any excuses. You know, they say when we get to heaven, we'll be able to sit down and talk to Jesus, and we could ask him questions and different things like that. Well, I come to tell you now, don't use your time if that's the case, if that's really true. I didn't say it was true, but if it's true, don't use your time saying, God, when I was da-da-da-da, you didn't do da-da-da-da. God, you know, I told you I needed this and you never gave it, and I wanted the job and I wanted, you know, don't even use your time with that because we live in a time of no excuses. And you see, when you say, God, when I wanted that job, you know, you didn't give it to me. He said you didn't put yourself in position to get it. He said, I had the job waiting for you, but you had to walk into it. Because there are no excuses. God has done everything and will do everything necessary for our lives because we're his children. You see, and we're going into the scripture now, and we're in the book of Romans. You see, the book of Romans was written by Paul to the Roman Christians in Rome, and there was no central church. There wasn't no big church there. And they had small groups of believers that met all around town. And Paul wrote this letter to them. You see, Paul had a desire to go see him, but he hadn't got there yet. So he just took the opportunity to write the letter to give them some instructions, to let them know that God is real. You got to remember, these were churches that were started after Pentecost. And when these people went back to the places they lived, who had caught the word and God had imparted in them the word, they started teaching and preaching and sharing. You know, God said, go ye therefore, that's our commandment, into all places, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, then people went back and did it, and all these churches was established. You got to remember, they didn't have a Bible. So they had to be relying on what they had heard, what was taught to them maybe by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you got to remember, at this time, when they became Christians, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wasn't teaching Christ. So it was hard for them to get it. And so plenty times error could be formulated in a church. And Paul would write these letters or epistles to them to give them some solid foundation. So when we get into 16, verse 16, we see right there, this is Paul talking. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe." He said, yeah, first it went to the Jews. That's the scripture, y'all. And then also to the Greek. And we know the Greek is the Gentiles. He's telling you the word of God is for everyone. And I'm not ashamed of it. See, Paul said, I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. And it is God's desire that we share the word of God. You would have to evaluate yourself and say if you're sharing it, if you're getting it and you holding on to it, anything that God give you is never just for you. You see, Peter Paul is letting us know how powerful the gospel of Christ is. The gospel is the power that it takes people from a life of sin, and it could take you all the way to heaven. You see, salvation is the past, the present, and the future. Because once you accept Christ and receive salvation, it is forever present, working things out for your good. In verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see, he's talking about God is revealing. That's why I did the thing about the testament, for you to see God in the Old Testament and see how he's working in the New Testament and know he's our ever-present help and know that he has revealed himself, because it's important. And you see, now it is evidence that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. This was the same premise of the Old Testament, by faith. And I said that earlier. We know that Abraham had faith in God, and it was accounted to him as faith. Abraham had faith in God, and it was counted, and his faith was counted to him as righteousness, and that's what delivered him grace. Here we see that we are justified or made right before God by faith. You see, the law had no ability to justify anyone, and nor does your deeds, your work, your education, or your knowledge. We are made righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And because of it, we should live by faith and faith alone. The things that you're doing in your life, do you step in them with faith? And do you come out of them with faith? Or do you step in them with yourself, and then when it's all messed up, then you want to call on faith and go to God? Reverse it. Call on God. You see, we got to stop speaking to God about how big our problems is. But we have to go in faith and tell our problem how big our God is. You see, God's essential attributes are revealed, giving us the evidence of who he is and what's his master plan for his creation. See, by me saying a lesson is there's no excuses. See, God done revealed himself. He ain't leave no wheels unturned. You see, it is not man's invention. It is God's revelation. If it was left up to us, we would never have thought of none of this. It's God. what one believer does, what one believes does makes a difference, I'll tell you tonight. If you believe the gospel, you have life, which is union with God. Otherwise, you're going to have debt and you're going to be separated from God. God is making all of this known. He said, you got to choose this day while the blood is running warm in your veins. And all of us who have accepted Christ, we are connected with Christ. But as the scripture said, we should live by faith. We should walk in faith. We should do the things that God expects of us, even though we have salvation. And verse 18 said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it to them. What this is saying, there is no room for excuses. God has completely and totally provided everything necessary for you to live a righteous life in faith. You ain't going to be able to say, God, I could have, but you didn't do this or you didn't do that. God has provided all the provisions. If he asks you to live a righteous life, you think he ain't going to give you what you need to live it? He gave his son, and he allowed his spirit to live in you, who's leading and guiding you into all righteousness and truth. And just because the Holy Ghost lives in you and is speaking to you, it don't mean that you listen or that you cooperate or that you submit and obey. But just because you don't mean that God didn't provide the provisions. You know, I'm always often asked the question, how can people live in this evil, corrupt world without Jesus in their lives? As the scriptures say, they hold on to their unrighteousness. We see that every day, all on TV, all in our neighborhood, people you know, people in your family. You know this because they're holding on to their truth in unrighteousness. They believe that they have it going on, doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes, putting their total faith in the things that are only temporal and will never last. They are selfish and believe the me, myself, and I theory. And they stand up with a proudness which God hates. He said a proud look is abomination to him. And they stand up with a proud look and chest. They push their chest out as if they self-made themselves. You see, the more you know the word of God, you begin to realize that no one created themselves. It was all through the creation of God. You see, Proverbs 28 and 26 says, Proverbs 28 and 26 says, the one who trusts in himself is a fool, but one who walks in wisdom will be safe. And I'm going to give you another one, and it's in the same book we're reading tonight, Romans 1. And if you'd have read the whole chapter of the first chapter of Romans, you would have read this. They say, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So you say, Sister Dime, what you mean a reprobate mind? That is when God lets you do anything you want to do. The conscience is not there. That don't mean that God is still don't have, you know, a desire for you to be saved. But, you know, sometimes you're doing, you're doing, you're doing, you're doing, you're doing, you do, you know, and it don't seem like there's going to be no change. And guess what? God knows your heart. But God will turn you over to a reprobated mind. And he'll let you do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. That's like some sins in our life that we know is wrong. We go to sleep with them and we wake up with them. And we, you know, just act like it's okay. And I didn't say yo, I say we. So all that God has did and all of the evidence he gave who what he's working with and all of this, he said he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. You see, God, at that time, God withdraws his gracious help. It is judicial, which means law, relating to a proper, to courts of law. That's what he's saying. He said, when he withdraw his gracious help, you know, that's like a cause and effect. That's already in place. That's like, what you call that, gravity. What goes up must come down. This is the way he's going to handle that, because that's the way he said he would. So ain't nobody going to escape if they that way. See, that's the way that he administers justice. You see, those people are blinded, not because God withheld his life, but because the judicial acts of God whereby he delivered them over to the natural results of their unbelief actions. That's what I'm saying. God's doing everything, have done everything, and will continue to do everything. You're not going to have no excuse. They got the internet, they got the TV, they got the people on the corner, they got the church houses all around. They have people going around knocking on doors. They have people walking the street. So how you going to say you didn't know about it? And for us that knowing and already saved, he said, a just shall live by faith. Paul is telling us, walk in your faith. Hold on to the confession of your faith, so that you could be pleasing in God's sight. You see, those type of people began to follow the lie and began to walk in conformity of the lie. Come on now, you know how people lie so much they start believing it or they live a certain way, they start justifying. You know, it's all right to have another woman besides my wife because that's what they did in the Old Testament. Yeah. You know, or, you know, I do have a old man on the side, but I do it right because my old man ain't going to never show up at my house and you know, get make nothing go down bad. There's no right way to do wrong. And that's only lying to yourself. You see, Satan, who is the greatest liar, can only work in your mind trying to get you to accept his lies as your perception. And you see, once you accept his perception and you allow it to take root, you accept those things as being reasonable. But the word of God said in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove what that is, that a good and acceptable will of God, which is your reasonable service, not the lies that Satan's giving you. Oh, you are right, God, understand. But you see, after they take them lies and they think it reasonable, it becomes their reality. We all know that reality is not real. All reality is not real or true. Sometimes it's only good for you and not necessarily good for you. There will be no excuses acceptable. God has an enduing and has promised to do all that is necessary for you and all the matters of your life if you accept, believe, confess that Jesus is Lord and God, who is everywhere at the same time, in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your good, in the middle of your bad. He said, I am always your present help. And as we go to verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly sealed, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with no excuses. Now that's the scripture. That's how I got the title. He said, there will be no excuses. Let me read it again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with no excuses. God said, you know, I created the world, nothing was there, and I made something. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on, y'all know it. And then he said, make light. God spoke, you know, Jesus is called the living Word, and I know that because John 1:1 said was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So God had everything inside of him, which was invisible, and he spoke it into existence, and it became visible. See what it say? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are seen clearly now. He said, I'm going to send my son, but you see him now. He said, I'm going to send the water in Noah's time, but through the word you see it with your imagination. So you see the visible now. So because you really see that God is the source of all things, he's our Heavenly Father and all of this, then we can't have no excuses to say we don't believe other than you just don't want to believe. And God said not everyone is going to accept his son. You see, the scripture gives the argument from cause and effect is one logical argument for the existence of God. We know that God is real because he has revealed himself to us in three ways. First, the creation. Second, his word. And third, his son. Hallelujah. God made all things invisible visible in his creation. It's like, sometimes I like to say God was impregnated with his creation. It was all in him. And then when he got ready, he spoke it into existence. See, in Genesis 1:1, to begin, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You see, God uses everything he created to show his existence, the universe, nature, and most of all his word. You either believe it or you don't. But let me tell you this, when it's all said and done, as the scriptures say, so that they are without excuse, God has provided the evidence, but you must provide the faith. And our last scripture, 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. So what the scripture saying, even when they was in a position to know him, they're going to be some who ain't going to glorify him. Neither were they thankful. You know, when God parted the Red Sea, when they was coming out of Egypt and he was sending them to the promised land, and when they got to the Red Sea and they thought they was going to be messed up, they start talking about why God didn't leave them where they was, and what kind of God is that to get us to here, and we at the sea, and the Egyptians coming behind them. Come on now, they're unthankful. But because vain in their imagination and their foolish hearts becomes darkened. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. You see, even though God had done everything necessary for us to believe, and by the way, when they was at the Red Sea and they was grumbling and mumbling and fumbling, God told Moses, lift your rod, and the sea opened up. See, that's the evidence God provided. God did all these things so you could know who he is. God ain't going to ask you to trust them because you can't trust somebody you don't know. And when there's somebody come in your life and it's going to be a situation where you have to trust them, you want to see the evidence. You need evidence to know that they're trustworthy. God said, how would I what kind of God would I be that I'm going to just say, oh, I'm God and do no works? I'm God and have no power. I'm God and can't show up everywhere at the same time. I'm God and I can't take away the punishment that they deserve by giving my son so that they could have a chance to the tree of life. Because you see, Adam, as they say it in the verse here, Adam brought separation between the people and God. And Jesus is pulling us back so that we could live with him. See, you know, God made paradise. And don't think since that was in his intended purpose, we're not going to be in paradise. Come on now. There are many cases when someone knows him but refuses to glorify him or to show him reverence or even to be thankful. We have to remember that one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. The scripture talks about our imagination. You see, the word of God tells us to cast down our imagination and anything that exalts itself against the word of God. You know, your imagination will play tricks on you. And most of the time, it's vain. And as I close tonight, the lesson tonight teaches us that God has provided all of the evidence we need to know who he is, what he has done, is doing, and promised to do in the lives of the believer. God is doing his part, and it's up to us what part we want to play in his master plan. You see, because God even know, and we know, and we say this, you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. We must remember that we are free moral agents, and God has given us the choice to choose who we believe in and whom we chose to serve. It's your choice. But I want to let you know tonight how far and how fast you get to the goal that you want to be in God. Depends on you. You see, God is no respecter person, and he shine on the just as well as the unjust. You see, where you are at today in your walk with Christ don't have nothing to do where you could be tomorrow. It's a process. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became connected with God. And the problem with being connected is learning how to stay connected. And that's the position we in right now. If you accept Christ, you are already connected. But you're trying to stay connected. You're trying to have Christian growth. You're trying to become better. You're trying to be better. You want your light to shine that men could see the good works in you and glorify the Father. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to enter into rest and rely on God that he can do it. And we always want to pass the test. He has given us of himself, his son, and his spirit. He took care of us in our mother's womb. That was a part of the invisible. And all we are today, the visible, and has guaranteed our life after here and now. What more do you want? To know or see or touch or feel? To just live by faith. And I guarantee you this, we will not be able to stand before God with any excuses that will add up to a hill of beans. God said, because you're going to be without excuse, I ain't making it up. That's what he said in his word. So if he said that, he done provided everything. We have to learn to get in position to receive what we want. We have to learn to go to God, and we have to learn to be patient, and we have to learn to wait, and we have to do what the word of God say do. You know, some of the things we asking God for does not line up with the will of God, and you could do what you want, you'll never get it. And then, you know, certain things is not good for you. See, some people go to God and act like everything is for everybody. We could look around us and we see. But God said that we all are rich. You know, you might not be a billionaire, but if you take what God put in your hand and be a good steward, because he say he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. The Bible says, I've never seen a righteous forsaken of their seeds begging bread. When the last time, you know, you didn't have something to eat? And all of us overweight. But God is faithful. God is able. And God is willing. This lesson tonight was saying that God has provided all the evidence to the world to know who he is. How could you see the sun in the sky and it never fell out? If man had anything to do with that, they would have cranes trying to lift up to the sky, because every so now and then it would just fall out the sky. Why you think the seas and the oceans and stuff in the water stays in their boundary? Because God put it there. Come on now, y'all. How could you see a black cow, you know, and you go sit down and you milk it and it produce white milk? I have a magnolia tree in my backyard, and around the middle of April, the magnolia's going to come. And at a certain time, they're going to leave. And there's four seasons. And people say, well, you can't tell the seasons, you know, one season from another. If you look close enough, you will. Because God said if he put it in place, it's going to always be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a God. And he revealed himself in the Old Testament, and he's revealing himself unto you now. And it's his desire that everyone would accept his son so that he could have that intimate relationship with you forever and eternity. We have to stop setting our sights on things that are temporal. And we must realize that only what we do for Christ will last. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to comment or have a prayer request, I want to pray. You could do it at this time. You could press the one button on your phone. If you want to make comments, if you want to pray. You know, the first scripture we read tonight, Paul is saying, you know, he told him, he said, look, I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I ain't ashamed. And I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to say something every opportunity and everywhere I go. You know, that was just the scripture, the way it started off. But since no one would like to do anything at this time, what I'm going to do is pray. And when I, well, pray and do a benediction. And when I get through with it, I'll play the song, because people like to hear songs. Some people like to stay on the line. But here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, I am so grateful and thankful to be able to explore your word together with your people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder, reminding me how real you are, and reminding you that all you have done and you're doing for us right now, dear God, and the promises that you have in place. You know, dear God, I remember reading somewhere in your word where Jesus said, Father, I promise to hold everyone that you gave me. And there's a scripture in Philippians where you say, the one that has begun the work in us is able to perform it until the day. Come on now. Lord, I thank you for your word, because it strengthened me. I thank you for your word, dear God, because it teaches me. I thank you for your word, dear God, because without you, I don't know where would I be. You know, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where would I be. Lord, and I can remember back in my life when I wasn't seeking you as I'm doing now, but you protected me. Come on now. You kept me from danger, seen and unseen, and I know it was nothing but the hand of God, and for that I say thank you. And Lord, you say when I wasn't seeking you and you took care of me and I'm seeking you now, how much more will you do for me? He's saying, enter to rest, my child. And thank you, dear God, and I plan to do that. I thank you, dear God, for each and every person that called in here tonight, and I ask that you give them the blessings that they're in need of. Some is dealing with their health, some with finances, some with children, some with relationships. But, God, you're a heart fixer, you're a mind regulator. You say you'll give us everything according to your riches and glory. You own it all. So all we have to do is rely and trust and live by faith, dear God. The scriptures say, with the just shall live by faith. Lord, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to try my best, dear God, to be better tomorrow than I am today. And, Lord, I'm going to hold on to the confession of my faith, and I'm going to walk in faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. And I will start playing some music, and you could listen to it. Let me do this. Hello, Miss Cynthia?
Yes.
Your button was pressed by mistake. I could still see it. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything before I put the music on.
No, I just thank God for giving me the strength to endure what I've been through and be able to come back and listen to them awesome words get me going. I just thank God for his grace and his mercy because I went through a lot, but I'm doing a whole lot better and I thank God. And thank
praise
God. For
God. Thank you, Sister Cynthia. That Sister Cynthia we've been praying for, she's going through her treatments for her cancer, so we have to keep lifting her up in prayer, asking God to take away the pain and don't let her suffer, dear God, and give her strength to keep going on. But I thank God that she's able to call in. You know, this program, some people are not able to get out, you know, and some people don't get out, and they could call in this program like this, and it's really a blessing. But I'm going to play this song. It's called Encourage Yourself, and that's our program for tonight. For those who want to listen to the music, you may, and those who have to leave the closing prayer had already gone forth. I thank God for each and every one of you. I want you to know how much God loves you, and I love you too. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again on Wednesday night. If anyone have a certain topic you want me to talk about, you can press the one button, and I'll get that, and we'll do a lesson around that. But until then, God be with you until we meet again. And I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. And this song is going to play, and those who would like to stay on can. But the closing prayer is going forward. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God.
Sometimes you have to speak victory. Do- Encouraged tonight.